Thanks, Lindsay. Computers. Computers are a big part of our lives these days. In fact, most, if not all of us, life is not quite the same if our computer doesn't work. I'm sure most of us have had a time when something didn't go to plan with a computer. A screen froze. Something stopped working. What do? You get frustrated, you press buttons. You keep pressing buttons, but more often than not, the first step is to simply reset, to turn off the computer and start again. Now, I don't know all that much about computers, unlike another David at the back there who's operating our computer here this morning at the back desk, but what I do know is that if all else fails, turn it off and restart or reboot. Is that right, David? Yep. What's true of our experiences with a computer, though, can be true of our experiences in life. Unexpected things happen. Things we have little control over happen. But even the things we do have control over can easily go pear-shaped. We wish at times that we could start again in relationships, in life choices, in the way that we have responded to challenges. The way that we have responded and dealt with life challenges that come our way. Peter found himself like that in the reading that Lindsay just read to us. He found himself feeling like that not only after the death of Jesus on the cross. That would have been hard enough, but it was all that led up to that as well, where he had betrayed and denied Jesus. And yet in the reading a few moments ago, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you want to start over?" The risen Jesus gave Peter the opportunity to reset and to start again, despite everything that had happened up to that point. And the risen Jesus, still today, gives us that opportunity. You might say, how's that possible? You don't know what's gone on in my life. You don't know what's gone pear-shaped in my life. You don't know all the challenges I've had to face along the way. It is only possible because of Jesus' resurrection. What is it that is so special about Jesus rising from the dead that makes all the difference to our lives, no matter who we are, no matter what has unfolded in our lives up to this point? Someone else who experienced the transforming power of Jesus in his life was Paul, and the reading that Lindsay read right at the start of our service today, where the reset button was pressed on Paul's life, and Paul's life was turned around completely. Paul's words spoke of what is so special about Jesus' resurrection. Three things that I want to highlight briefly this morning. Firstly, Jesus' resurrection is so special because it gives us a foundation for faith and for life. Paul highlights how the message of Easter is of first importance in the gospel or the good news of Jesus. He says, "I want to remind you of the gospel or the good news I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you've believed in vain." He says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance," not lower down the importance, but of first importance, "that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." And then Paul particularly emphasizes the many and the multiple appearances of the risen Jesus, one of which was to Peter and the other followers of Jesus as they went fishing, as you just heard about. And Paul goes on to say, He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, some of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. The cross was only part of the story. Without the resurrection, a key part of God's story and a key part of God's work in people's lives would be missing. And Paul makes the point even stronger as you read on into that reading and go over to verse 14. He says in verse 14, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith.
More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we've testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. I don't know if you're familiar with the game Jenga. But Jenga is a game where you take blocks away from a tower that's been built up. And you as you take those blocks away, you try to avoid the whole thing crashing down, which can happen if you take away a block that is underpinning everything else. The resurrection of Jesus Christ underpins Christianity. And if you take that away, everything else comes tumbling down. The empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus is what makes Jesus and Christianity different to any other belief system or religion in the world, because every other religious leader died and is still dead. But Jesus died and rose from the dead. You might dismiss Jesus rising from the dead simply because you say that's impossible. It doesn't fit within the natural laws of human life and death. But that's the whole point. It was a supernatural event, only possible because it was a God thing, not a human thing. Some centuries ago, European zoologists dismissed reports about what had been discovered in Australia. A mammal that laid eggs instead of giving birth. Ha, that's not possible. A mammal that had webbed, flat-footed feet and a big, broad bill. It was dismissed as being impossible, yet was found to be real, even though it defied all logic and all laws of nature. And what was it? The platypus, of course. Jesus rising from the dead is real too. It is the foundation of Christianity. But not only does it give a foundation for faith, it gives a foundation for life itself. Because in reality, everyone in life wants things or people that they can rely on, wants things or people that they can count on, things or people that will be trustworthy, that will not let you down. Everyone builds some sort of foundation for their life, something that you build your life around. And Jesus speaks about this in Matthew chapter 7. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I want to ask you this morning, what is the foundation that your life is being built on? Is it a foundation that will stand the test of time? Is it a foundation that can be relied upon? Is it a foundation that you can really count on in the midst of life's storms? Because Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus is a foundation that your life can be built around. It is a foundation that your life can be transformed by. It is a foundation that you can find true meaning and purpose in through life. Jesus' resurrection is so special because of the foundation it gives us for faith and life. But secondly, Jesus' resurrection is so special because it gives us freedom from what enslaves us. Paul says in verse 17 in the reading from 1 Corinthians, he spells it out when he says this. Verse 17, he says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Jesus did not just come into this world to be a great moral teacher. Jesus did not just come into this world to be a great miracle worker. But Jesus came into this world to deal with what affects, and more than affects, enslaves all of us, which is sin. Sin has damaged and sin has destroyed so much about life in this world. It's damaged and destroyed relationships. It's damaged and destroyed life through wrong choices. It's damaged and destroyed, and it is responsible for what's wrong with our world. And without Jesus having been raised from the dead, we are still enslaved or held captive by sin. Without Jesus' resurrection, we can't know freedom from sin and its effects. We'll still be crippled by failure, crippled by fear, crippled by insecurity and guilt and regret and more. Instead of understanding that Jesus died and rose again to free us to have a second chance, to have our slate wiped clean, to restart. It's not easy to wipe something clean. It's not easy to when something's marked on, or it's not easy to rub out things that have marked a whiteboard. We even have that with a whiteboard here at the church that's had plenty written or drawn on it. You'd rub, and yet the board would still be stained. Even whiteboard cleaner didn't really help until Vicky found the magic solution a week or two ago that has made it like new. It's not easy to wipe the slate clean in life of all that's marked our lives either. It's not easy to deal with or to rub off the things that can feel like they've been engraved on us with a permanent marker. But Jesus' resurrection makes that possible. What was true for Peter can be true for you. Jesus can deal with our failures. Jesus can deal with our regrets. Jesus can deal with whatever else we wish we could start again in. Jesus' resurrection is so special because it gives us a foundation for faith and life. It gives us a freedom from what enslaves us. And finally, it gives us a future hope. What does Paul say in verse 19? He says, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man." And in verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." This is not wishful thinking about the future that Paul's talking about here. But this is Paul speaking about a confident and sure future hope that we can have because Jesus has indeed been raised from the dead. The word first fruits that are used to describe Jesus' resurrection is a word that has to do with putting a deposit down on something. Putting a deposit down, which is like a guarantee. When you put a deposit on something, it guarantees that's yours, that can be yours. What is the biggest fear in the hearts and lives of most people? Death. Death is the number one fear of people have in life. Jesus' resurrection, though, conquered death and conquered the power of death over us. Even the great escape artist Houdini was not able to do that, but Jesus was. And by doing so, he has paved the way for us to experience life beyond death by his resurrection. He has guaranteed, he's put down the deposit and guaranteed the resurrection of our bodies too, and the complete restoration and the making new of everything, making us new of all that's decaying and deteriorating in our world. Now that is something worth looking forward to. And it's only possible because Jesus rose from the dead. Could you do with a new start today? Your life up to this point is only part of what it could be. There's more to come in God's purposes. If you allow the resurrected Jesus to give you a foundation for faith and life, if you allow the resurrected Jesus to bring you freedom from what might enslave you, if you allow the resurrected Jesus to give you a guaranteed future hope, you can have your slate wiped clean. You can have the reset button pressed on your life so that you can be restored to function like never before in and through the risen Jesus. There's no better day for that than Easter Sunday. But there's also no other way outside of what took place that Easter Sunday for that. We're going to close with a clip that we've been showing at our Easter services. It's called "The God of Second Chances." And then I'll just say a word or two after that before we have our closing song. Thanks, David.